Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Spin It Social Hour. My name is Stefan Kaplan, and it is an absolute pleasure to be here with you on another Saturday morning. It is a beautiful day outside, and we are going to kick off this hour with a great photographer that we're bringing on today. So I am a social media and visual strategist, and it is fantastic to be here every week to be able to bring some of the best photographers around the world on my show to introduce them to you and let you learn more about their lives and their work. Because when this pandemic hit, I decided that I was going to do everything I could to help get their name out there more so that when this horrible pandemic alleviates a bit, that we will be able to, you will know more about them and be able to contact them and hopefully give them more work. I am a social media visual strategist, as I said, and a former New York Times photo editor for 15 years. I've worked with the likes of the Pulitzer Prizes, AARP, the Jackson Charitable Foundation, and I'm an adjunct professor at FIT. And one of the big honors I have always is working with Sri Srinivasan and his DigiMentors group as a freelancer doing productions of live streams around the world. Anyway, so today we are going to bring on Bill Wadman. He is just amazing. But first, a quick word from my sponsor, Real Talk, live from the barn. Real Talk, live from the barn, a show revolving around all issues relating to COVID-19, from the economy to race. We will be back with a new show very soon, which is in production. So, to get to Bill Wadman today, let me give him the buildup that he deserves with a beautiful slideshow of his work. As always, I curate the slideshows every week for everybody to see. It's a pleasure, after being a photo editor so long, to be back in the game doing that every week. And we've been doing it for 30 weeks now. This is the 30th show. I am amazed. So let's get started. Here we go. Bill Wadman is an American portrait photographer living in Brooklyn, New York. His images have been seen on the covers and pages of major publications throughout the world. In 2007, Bill launched his career by completing 365portraits.com, a daily project which won him praise from USA Today, The Times of London, and Playboy. Bill's long exposure motion project has been featured in Popular Photography and numerous magazines, as well as the Huffington Post. In 2013, Adobe Masterclass Photoshop, the book, featured a chapter on Bill's work, including a walkthrough of his compositing and post-production workflow. His conceptual portrait work has been shown throughout the US and Canada. After a degree from Berklee College of Music and a career as an art director in the world of New York City advertising, Bill rediscovered photography and figured out what he wanted to do with his life. Equally at home with connecting with subjects behind the camera and perfecting their image in front of a computer, Bill's technical skills are more than matched by his natural eye for what makes a great photograph. Bill is interested in just about every subject, prefers to paint his own backgrounds, build his own Macs, and perhaps most ironically, does not like getting his picture taken as a general rule of thumb. Everyone, please help me welcome my guest today, Bill Wadman.
How are you doing, Stefan?
How are you, man?
I'm good. Yeah, it is true that I don't like being on this side of the camera, so this is fun.
You know what? And that's why it's so great having you here, because I know, you know, it's not everybody's thing all the time. A lot of us enjoy, as photographers and artistic people, being behind the scenes.
Sure. I mean, I love talking about it, you know, on camera. That's a whole other thing. But yeah, it's great.
But you have a lot of experience dealing with podcasting.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Somebody just chimed in and says, I have a horrible echo. Well, that's interesting. So let's see if we can quickly solve that technical problem. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to reload. 1 second.
Let's see.
How is it now, everybody? Let me know, please. Sorry for that. Bill, are you okay?
I'm fine.
Okay, so I do not understand the echo part, but let's maybe I'm talking too loud this morning. Let's try not to. Okay, two people just said they don't hear it.
Great.
Okay, so there's always some that do, some that don't. We'll do our best here.
It's all good.
Okay, so tell me once again, Bill. I'm sorry. I rudely interrupted you trying to fix that technical problem. You have experience in podcasting.
Yeah, I've done a lot of podcasting. I mean, I'm probably best known for the show on Taking Pictures that Jeffrey Sidoris and I did for 325 episodes week straight. So, I mean, I'm fine being on mic and talking about stuff. In fact, you know, anybody asks me to talk about my photos, I'm fine with it. It's like talking about my kids or something, you know. It's like, you're not talking about me. You're talking about, it's like, I'm proud of my kids. Sure. Look at my, you know. Right. Happy to do it.
Well, you taught me something. I do my research heavily too. And all my photographers know that, but I thought you only have one. You have multiple kids.
No kids at all.
Oh, you have no kids.
No, I have my photographs.
Oh, okay. Then I'm totally mistaken.
Yeah, totally.
You have guinea pigs.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I have guinea pigs. Anyway, you know what? It's always good to start off with a laugh. This has been a grueling pandemic on so many people here. Oh, Rick Friedman's in the house. One of the great, great photographers out there, future guest. Rick, very welcome. Cool. Thank you for the no echo here. Thumbs up. Okay, we're rolling. We're cooking with gas, as my grandfather used to say. So I was going to bring into the picture, pardon the pun. Where was I going with that? Oh, okay. So you have done so much work from portrait photography to conceptual work and everything else. But we had a discussion the other day and it was kind of mind boggling to me that many people that, you know, you've probably worked in with life and no specifics here.
Sure.
Have always asked you to do mainly portraits more than conceptual work, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think professionally I'm more known for the straight portrait work than the conceptual stuff. Mm-hmm. Although I enjoy doing the conceptual stuff and do it for artistic purposes.
Right.
And occasionally client work, but most of my client work ends up being, yeah, straight portraits. Yeah.
Right. Right. Well, I want to bring up a bunch of those right now. And sure. So we can have a wonderful show here and bring a lot of them up. And there we go. Let me tell you, man, putting together that slideshow every week is one of the highlights of my life, and yours in particular this week, because your portraits are stunning and you bring out the best in people, I have to say.
It's interesting. Whenever I see somebody who's gone through my work and has pulled, you know, what they like, especially somebody like you who's been a photo editor, you did a much better job than some people do choosing the stuff that I would choose myself. Because a lot of times people pull stuff and I go, really? That's the one that they like, you know? But no, I agree with all but one of the ones that you pulled. So that's
very... And which one was that? Please let me know.
I'm not going to say, because I don't want, I'll tell you off mic.
Okay. You'll tell me off.
In case the subject happens to be watching, right?
You know what? That's a very good point. I just hope it's not Nicks with Chicks.
No. Nick with the chicken is one of my favorites.
And by the way, a disclaimer here, Nicks with Chicks is not what you think it may be.
No,
it,
not
it
at all.
It is our friend Nick Curry, who is my very first guest on the Spin It Social. Nick, shout out to you, Nick Curry, Coury. Look him up in Monterey, actually. Yep. Hope everything's well out there, dealing with more fires. God bless everyone out there. Don't know how you've been dealing with all that. We are in your corner. But Nick is a great photographer who raises chickens.
Absolutely. And in fact, that's not one of his chickens. That's a chicken here in Brooklyn that I had to find. He was going to be in town. I said, Nick, we got to shoot you with a chicken. And so I put out a call on Facebook and said, does anybody know anybody in Brooklyn with chickens? And you'd be surprised. I think I got four or five people who came back saying, yeah, I have a chicken. My neighbor has a chicken in this neighborhood, in that neighborhood. And that chicken ended up falling asleep. I actually had to replace its eye in that picture, because in that picture he fell asleep and he had actually closed his eyelid. Yeah.
The chicken did.
Yeah, the chicken did.
Oh, wait,
Nick's that good with chickens.
A chicken fell asleep on a camera, on a photo shoot. Now that's something you have to write in a caption when you have that photo in a book.
Yeah, I have to do that next time.
Anyway, that's great. Here's to the organic farmers and people who have chickens in Brooklyn, New York. Shout out to you guys.
Yeah.
And anyway, but, you know, I love, like I said, your portrait work, your conceptual work. This photo I used as promotion for the show this week because it just grabbed me. First of all, she's absolutely stunning.
She's a striking woman, yes.
Second of all, it's just the look. And that is that the portraits are windows to the soul, and they're not taken by the photographer all the time, as a famous quote goes, and I can't remember the exact words right now, but they're given to you by the subject.
Yeah, I mean, you, in a case like this, you have two things going for you. One, you have a stunning subject, because Maren's beautiful.
Right.
I also, this was in her apartment, and she just happened to have a blue wall. In fact, I think that that is just, might be just window light.
Oh, okay.
You know, just, you know, turn the right way and you have a good solid background and it feels like a more studio thing. And in reality, it's just her against the wall.
Sorry, I'm laughing because people are chiming in. Charles,
about the chickens, yeah.
Charles Scheffler chimed in. He's a great, great photographer in New York here. Check him out, everybody. Yeah. Chicken Sleeps in Brooklyn. He's got a title for your book. Anyway, Charles is a great guy. So check him out, everybody. But, you know, yeah, let's roll through to work, man, because I know we have a tight hour.
For it.
I went digging for you, man, because your website, everybody will check it out. We're going to show it all so long, but I went digging for some other stuff, which I always do for my photographers that I have on the show. I always call you guys my photographers because I have a deep, deep just love and admiration for all the photo community. And, so I hope everybody takes that to heart.
Yeah.
So this photo here is another favorite. I lined them up, man, because it's just one after the other with you. But my editing skills had to come into play here for an hour. This one, tell me about this. This is absolutely gorgeous.
I mean, stuff like this is really interesting because, I mean, obviously incredibly simple light. There was probably just a softbox or something above her, you know, just have her look up. But it's but a lot of times the simplest setups are the best setups, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't. I mean, you'll notice that in a lot of my work, there are shots that I've used seven lights, but it's very rare that I use them if I need to use them or if I'm trying to come up with some really great effect or something, you know. But I'm not the kind of person who puts a hair light and strip lights and everything on every single picture and, you know, I'm not into overlighting. In my opinion, as a general rule of thumb, if you can tell that it's been lit or it looks like it's lit, then you've failed, in my opinion. You know what I mean? Like that the whole idea of this is to make it look like you haven't lit it at all.
Right.
I was watching a movie about, listening to a documentary about them shooting Shawshank Redemption.
Mm.
And they were talking about the scenes outside when he first gets off the bus and is entering the prison. And it looks just like, you know, they're outside walking in the thing. And they're talking about the, you know, banks of lights that they had set up just to make it look like it looks normally, you know. It's just it's that kind of thing that kills me. Or the, you know, scenes in the cafeteria where they had 45 12,000 watt lights out the windows to light it, you know. It's just unreal kinds of things just to make it look normal.
Did you build, because now it strikes me, and I didn't have this as a question, but now it pops in my head, which I love about doing just general conversations with the photography community all the time, did you ever think about doing movie set work? Because I know it's a very lucrative field.
No, I mean, it's funny because I've been doing stills now for 13 years or something, but I'm definitely, my eye is moving towards moving images.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I find it interesting to try to light, and I've been writing and directing and editing and doing a lot of short films lately. So it's definitely a direction I want to go in, but you know, it's union work and all the rest of it.
Yeah,
it's,
I know.
In New York, it's, you know, it's not as easy.
Be in the Screen Actors Guild.
Exactly.
You know, people forget that. Even that, you have to be a very tight ship. And you know what?
And to be in LA in some ways.
Yeah. And I'm really in, well, you know, it's expanded so much. Brooklyn's become just as big as LA.
True. Brooklyn has become a thing. Yeah.
Brooklyn's doing it, man. Movie style, man. Especially
right
New
down
York.
The street.
No, I know, because years ago when Law & Order, this SVU started, my photos opened the show, Law & Order SVU.
Oh, okay.
Most of those photos are mine, and it's had a 20-year run. I've been honored. But the thing is that I learned a lot about being on the sets with them at times. I got to learn a lot about it by talking to Jerry Orbach, God rest his soul, and other people. Even though Jerry wasn't in the SVU, I used to see him around New York.
Sure.
And I actually got to know him a little. What a great guy. But Anyway, Edward, a great fan of the show, says, beautiful composition and lighting. I love the way the face is positioned towards the upper left corner. It, in a sense, creates more motion in the direction the subject is looking. We, the viewer, are drawn to what the subject is looking at and thinking. Edward's coming on the show soon. I have to tell you, he's a Leica user and a fantastic photographer.
I got to have all these other people write all my captions. I don't, you know.
You are a very, very humble and beautiful individual, and I have to commend you on that, because there's a lot of ego in this industry at times.
Yeah, I've heard that.
But not everybody, some.
Sure.
All my stable of people are all very humble and very level-headed, but there are some. But you know what? A good ego is a healthy thing, but you are by far a very humble man. And as we were doing the social promotion for this week, I hope I didn't put my social media skills and overwhelm you a bit.
You know what it is? I think it's some kind of, you know, I grew up in Connecticut. I think it's like some weird Puritan thing. You know what I mean? Like standing up and saying, I'm fantastic. Here's a sign that says I'm great.
Right.
All of that feels awkward to me. Hey, well, Seth Godin.
Yes, Seth Godin. I have to tell you, a social media whiz extraordinaire, blogger extraordinaire, everything communications extraordinaire. He is a stylish guy. And I have to tell you, this is a Seth Godin. Check him out, folks. And Seth, I'm going to give you a shout out online later. Hopefully you'll retweet the show for me, because I showed this magnificent portrait of you. Tell me about a quick minute about working with Seth.
So I went up to his office. It was up in Westchester somewhere. I forget exactly where, and met him there and went in and we ended up doing a few different shots. And it's interesting because my agent and some other people end up using other shots, but this one is by far my favorite.
Yeah.
It is a incredibly simple setup. It's a speed light into a 36 inch soft lighter off camera left. I don't think that there was any anything filling on the other side or reflector or anything like that. And you know, he just, it's like, I think a 35 millimeter lens. He just sort of puts his hands like he did and just kind of sat down for a second and snapped a few shots. And I feel like it's a very natural shot. You know, it's both formal and natural at the same time, which is kind of what I like about it. Mm-hmm. And the tones of everything on his skin
It's really sharp, man.
Yeah, one of my favorite. Yeah.
What was that question we had? Jonathan from Seshu, I believe. Seshu. Can you show that for a second? He had a question about clients of Bill's. Hi, Bill. Would love to know how you land these awesome clients. Well, that's the secret sauce.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Sometimes I think, this one was for me. I contacted him and said, I want to come photograph you.
Right.
I mean, since then, a lot of people have used it because people find it and they want to license it for different stuff. Okay. But yeah, I mean, sometimes it's like this kind of thing. You know, I have an agent. I have people who see my work and call me. I have clients that I've had for years who call me again and again. I mean, it's same thing as everybody, right?
Well, let me
harder and harder as time goes on, you know.
With this hour that we're spending with you today, and you know, what a way to do a Saturday morning with everything going on. I've been complimented. You know what? I really love what somebody said to me last week, and it made me feel so good. They say on LinkedIn too, by the way, we're streaming on all four platforms now, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and LinkedIn. But I would put LinkedIn at the top of the list, because this is where I want photographers like you to be, because showing your work, because I hope that some contacts come out of this for you.
Sure.
That is my goal with this show, not only to educate people and to have you tell your stories, but to get you more contacts. LinkedIn is the place to be. And let me tell you, when people see this shot and other shots we're going to show on LinkedIn and your opening shots, they need to come contact you, because overly impressive, man.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, yeah. It's also interesting, a shot like this where, I mean, for use as, say, a corporate headshot or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, this is not the 100% most flattering flat light kind of, you know, So there are a lot of people for whom that would be a problem. But the reality of it is that I think that this gives a much better idea of the person and pulls you in much more than a, you know, four softboxes in front of you and one behind you as the shooter kind of look is going to get you.
But so much of it also depends, at least in my opinion, you're the portrait pro, so I'll let you have the last word. But the what I will say is that it's really for three things. One is comfort with the subject.
Sure.
Two is, of course, the environment you're in. And three is bringing, and once they have that comfort level, the right pose, the right selection of the one, the one to put out there. And this, in my opinion, would be the one.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, oh, so many ways to go with that comment. sorry. One is that, yeah, there's a lot of times that, like, I don't generally pose people. But I will go in and I will try to get people comfortable enough to sit like they would want to sit, you know?
Right.
And of course you always get that moment where you say, okay, we're done. And they relax and they sit back and they go like this and you go, no, don't move. That's it. That's what I've been looking for the last 45 minutes, you know, but it's only after the fact that they end up getting like that.
Right.
But the flip side of that, like you were saying though, is that not only I have to be comfortable, but in reality, I just need to make them think that I'm comfortable. Cause that's where it comes down to. Cause that's if I seem like I'm level-headed and fine, they're going to think everything's fine.
Yeah.
And, you know, you do research about the people a little bit beforehand and you find out, oh, this person went to school for psychology, but they ended up being a CEO of some company. It's just like, how did you go from, you know, psychology to whatever? You were the whatever in your chess team. Like, let's talk chess.
And
that kind of stuff. It's better than the weather. It's better than, you know, just talking about small talk.
Right.
And then they stop thinking about what's going on, which is them getting their picture taken if they're nervous.
You know, the same thing applies to a great job interview, believe it or not.
Sure,
I read a long time ago, a great person who's doing the interview will ask a candidate something really great and something really different rather than asking them the same standard questions all the time. Because don't you want to learn more about that person who's going to work for you as opposed to just the stuff that is spelled out literally on their resume?
You know, it's funny. I went to University of Connecticut for 2 years before I went to Berklee College of Music. And when I got to Berklee, I wanted to be in the production department. And you have to apply to be in the production department. This is all to go back to your story right there.
Right.
And the guy who was interviewing me, Stephen Weber, who's now my friend who I've had dinner with in the last year, sat down and he opened up my thing and he sees that I took some dinosaur class. You know, he's like, oh, you took the Age of Dinosaurs when you were kid. He said, tell me something about dinosaurs I don't know. And I gave him an answer and he closed the thing and he put it down. And he goes, all right, you're in. Because it was just about making sure people weren't in, you know, a jerk is basically what it is.
Yeah. And also that you're not living in this like cubicle, you know, you're well-rounded, you have something to contribute. So all of that goes into everything you do and life in general. But man, oh man, I want some of these hanging on my wall and I don't even know these people.
Stefan, do you have the picture of, by chance of the woman on the rocks in the water? It's like the first picture on my site.
I do. If you want me to,
can you pull that up just a quick thing? Because I was going to tell a quick story about.
I'm not going to give everybody motion sickness, but I did pull the clip because, first of all, let me say a shout out to one of my favorite aquariums in the world, the Monterey Bay Aquarium. I've been there. We went there 3 years ago with my family, my wife, and our son. And let me tell you something, I love that aquarium.
Oh, it's absolutely beautiful. And Julie here is actually the son of, is it David Packard of Hewlett Packard? Is that, I forget which Packard it is.
So the daughter, you mean?
She's the daughter of Dave Packard. And, you know, and they're all worth literally billions of dollars, all these kids. And, you know, all four of them have careers and run businesses. They could be sitting around eating, you know, peeled grapes, but they don't. They do stuff. She runs the aquarium. But the reason I bring it up is that we were taking this picture, and actually Nick Curry was helping me out on this show.
Oh, wow.
I was in town, which is how we met originally.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago. And we're out there, and I said, you know, would you go out on the rocks with me? And she says, sure. So she's on a rock, I'm on a rock, and Nick's on a rock with a light to camera left, right? So there's like this big 60-something inch soft lighter in a big battery powered strobe. But the reason I bring it up is that I was going to be out on these rocks and I knew I wouldn't be able to hand anything to anybody. And I use prime lenses.
Right.
So I have two that I usually use. I use a 35 and a 55 on this Pentax medium format that I use. Yeah. And I took off because I knew I couldn't be fumbling with lens caps while standing on a rock. I took the lens cap off and I stuck it in my pocket so I could just switch them easily. Sure. Right.
Yeah, right.
But as I'm waiting for her to come down, I'm walking around, hopping between rocks, trying to find good angles and stuff. And a rogue wave comes and splashes me.
Oh.
And gets salt water in oh. a, you know, $1,500 oh. lens.
Yikes.
But the reason I bring it up is that I'm taking pictures of this woman. I have an hour with her, whatever it is.
Right.
And now I've lost one of my tools. Now I have to shoot the entire thing wide angle because wow. I don't have a normal
right.
lens.
Right, right.
Because one hit me. But I can't let her. I can't seem like I'm panicking.
Of course. Never let them see you sweat, man.
Right. Exactly. And so there are situations like this where part of my job is to know that basically I just threw away the money I was making shooting this picture probably to repair the lens. But that, you know, you have to just kind of go on and get what you can get. Now, luckily when you have a 50 megapixel
right.
big giant sensor, you right. can crop and stuff. So right. even with wide angle, you can get what you need.
Exactly.
But there are situations where that kind of stuff happens. Sorry.
We're going to explore a couple more. I got some goodies for right. you, but you know, beautiful work here. Like I said, thankful for people like her who, although they have all the money in the world,
she's great.
That they do so much for the environment and check out the Monterey Bay Aquarium and check out Julie Packard. You know the name Julie Packard. Packard is right there. So yeah. Thank you, Julie, for all you do. And I hope to meet you one day and learn more about you. So, and shout out to all the aquariums that do so much for the environment. Thank you for all you do. So let me scoot back real quick. See, I know where the photos are, man. So this photo means a lot to me, and it just really speaks to me because I went to a French school for many years with many students and diplomats, sons and daughters
sure.
From throughout Africa and Haiti and everywhere else. And I've always been in love with the cultures, the clothing, the food, the beautiful, beautiful people from all over. And this photo is just stunning.
Yeah, I do. I'm 90% sure. I think it was Nigeria he was from.
Yeah, stunning.
And he had this because he had the outfit because he had it was either he wore it to his wedding or he had to wear it for somebody else's wedding because it's like a traditional thing.
Right.
And he came in and we shot a bunch of stuff and then I had him put that on. I said, okay, this is sometimes if there's just something special that's going on, you know, there's two things. I mean, obviously he's a really cool looking subject,
right?
Plus the outfit. Plus, I don't normally gel lenses or gel lights all that often, but right. this one I did,
right.
So that adds a little bit of something. Because if it imagine, you know, if it was all just one thing, I'm not sure it was, it wouldn't be quite as polished, I think, without the color of the lights.
Right.
But
yeah. Right.
And there's also interesting. I added in post. There's like a haze over this picture. I don't know if it's almost like fungus growing in from the edges. Because I needed to age it a little bit. Because if it's just straight black background with him in the front, there's just something missing. There was like a dimensionality, a depth that I was missing. Right.
Well,
so I just added another layer on the top.
Yeah. Well, that's the one thing, folks, that we're going to explore with Bill in just a second is his unique vision and also his mad skills, as the youngins would say, about, you know, Photoshop and everything else. But with him, it's not just playing around with Instagram filters, folks. It is the real deal of knowing Photoshop like the back of your hand and using it the way professionals use it. No dissing Instagram and filters, but there's a time and place for everything. And Bill's work is not it.
As I recall, a few years ago, Adobe changed a couple of the keyboard commands. And everyone was like, what are you doing? You don't change Photoshop keyboard commands.
Right. Oh, Daniel Glickman's in the house of StreamYard. By the way, folks, this is the platform of choice for me and many professionals around the world. StreamYard has changed my life. It helped me in this pandemic take my passion for what I'm doing and bringing it to everybody around the world every week on all four platforms now to let you know about these great photographers. Shout out to Daniel Glickman, a great, great marketing expert, and now with StreamYard. Congratulations and tip of the hat to you, Daniel. So one of the things I want to get to these two, but this Man, let me tell you, I want this one. Okay, we're going to have to talk business here because I may have to purchase this one from you. I don't even know this messenger, and I love messengers in general because they're a real piece of work out there. They work so hard, and they're so unique. But this is a fantastic photograph.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. If I can't remember his name, this is, you know, you're going back 11 years now. The guy had a really cool name. Anyway, the cool thing about this shot is that I don't know, how did I meet him? Somebody recommended him to me, or I met him somewhere. I said, would you be in the series I'm doing? He's like, yeah, sure. And he brought his skateboard. And then I had done a picture the day before, I think, involving rope. So I brought the rope and I was like, let's do a thing where we don't, sort of ambiguous whether you're bringing flowers to a woman or going to tie them up. Because there's the next picture in the series actually is a woman tied to railroad tracks, like old school thing. So, and he's like, so you basically want me to be Snidely Whiplash? And I said, yes. And he said, oh, he's like, yes, I can do that.
No, I love it. I love it. Daniel, I'm not too kind. You are an incredible professional out there in this field. And it's an honor and a pleasure to know you. Plus, I love your hair, man. I got to dye my hair a little, man. You got it going on. So anyway, that's what the pandemic did to Daniel. He dyed his hair because he was so bored with the pandemic.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, getting to this. So I love it. And I'm an old skateboarder. I grew up skateboarding in Washington Square Park. And I had an Alva board and everything else. So Edward says, a determined man with a mission on his skateboard. And that stare. It is the stare, you know?
Yeah, he's going in one direction.
Yeah, he belongs to a Harry Potter movie, man.
Yeah, I should have done a wider shot that showed two friends of mine who came and met me with this guy who were holding strobes on either side of him, you know?
Right. But, you know, I want to get to a couple of other points. We're going to go back and check some of these. One of the things I wanted to bring up real quick was, you know.
Aw, Ian.
Yeah, you know, I saw this and I had it in the slideshow. But I just love the way you use the roof of the Tate Modern in the UK and London, and also the look on his face, the clouds. This is where doing an outdoor portrait is so different from indoors because you have to balance everything. But tell us quickly about working with Ian.
Well, Ian's a good friend of mine. I was in London for a job, and I ended up saying, well, the heck with it. If I'm going to London, I have friends in London. I used to date a woman in London for years. So like, I was like, oh, I'll go to London. I'll spend a week there. You know, if I got to be there for a half an hour for a shoot, I might as well be there for 5 days and spend some time. And so I met up with Ian and we spent the whole day together and ended up, he and I and his lady friend ended up at the Tate Modern. We were up on the roof and I said, Ian, I got to take a picture of you I got to do today's portrait. Cause I was at the time it was 2017, 18 and 19. Mm-hmm. I was doing my daily portraits. Mm-hmm. So, you can see those at Wadman 365 on Instagram. You can look at those. Yeah.
Okay. Check that out. Say it again on that one. I didn't put that one up.
It's
there.
Wadman 365.
Wadman 365, folks. Check that out on Instagram as well.
So you can look at all of them. So it's 1,095 portraits in the same amount of days. So
you know what?
Different person every single day.
They missed that Instagram. I knew about the handle and I checked it out, but I forgot to put it in the caption here.
No, it's fine. So Ian and I had met years earlier through my my friend Craig Ward, who's like a world-class graphic designer, as is Ian. Ian's designed all these crazy album covers. I mean, this guy is like super famous.
Well, he's big on pixels, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. He does. He like makes things. He sort of makes art with pieces, but they're usually physical. So it's like he'll put things in a pinboard, or he did the paper something, the TI album with all the sheets of paper making his face. That's Ian's, and it's huge. I've actually seen it in real life. It's, you know, 4 by 4 feet.
You know, let me tell you something. You know, one of the things I ask you, and you know, I don't, because everybody's so busy. So hold on a second. Adebumi Adiabi. excuse me if I did not pronounce it right. Holly Kaufman's soul. Wow. Text this man on this number. He got, oh no. Okay. We got spammed.
Getting
there.
Spammed.
Jonathan, we got spammed, man. So anyway,
don't take care of it. You were saying, sorry.
That, folks. We don't put spam up, but it happens. There's a lot of captions coming in. So let's get her off the screen and not give her any more attention than she needs. Okay. So that may have been just an oversight. So I'm sure it was. So anyway, Holly Kaufman's soul. Yep, we're being spammed. Okay. But I was getting to the fact about Ian. You know, I read the caption that you put in about him in your Instagram handle, and it really just captured my heart. And I know that we're all busy. Nobody can catch all every episode of the Spin It Social Hour, although I'd love you to. but there's rainy days, so hopefully you'll catch up on them. But you need to watch them a little more, Bill, because you know what? I don't like just stories. I have to bring people to real life, man.
Ian Wright. Hello. Hi, Ian. How are you, sir?
I'm very well. We meet again. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. I love that.
Look, your beard very is happy. Out of control, Ian. I love it.
Yes. Lockdown. Blame the lockdown.
Well, anyway, I saw the caption about Ian. I emailed him right away and I said, Ian, bless your heart. I would love to have you on this show because Bill wrote such a beautiful caption about you. I said, you're the one that I want to surprise him with this week. I love to.
Ian is one of my favorite people in the whole world.
Yeah, well, like, you're none.
I did it. I love it. I love surprises. It's one of my biggest things. Somebody threw me a surprise party as a kid. So,
Ian, how do you feel about having your picture taken in general?
You know, you make it easy because you're almost invisible doing it.
All right, I'll take that.
I almost don't recognize it enough. Because you're really low-key. Well, you're low-key with me doing it. And then sometimes we're at lunch because we're the blokes who lunch. We became blokes who lunch.
Yes.
And we used to – and we have these brilliant conversations that spiral off into other places. And Bill sometimes snaps and I'm not even aware of it, really.
Right.
You know, okay, there's been a couple of – more formal ones, but really he's just low-key. And I mean, I'm not so keen on having my picture taken either.
Really.
Ian, I love this one. This is just so so comfortable for the camera here. It's just
that's
so...
back in Lasso when it was still around.
That's right. Yeah, I remember it.
Yeah,
we have one more that I snagged of you too, which is
I like that one.
I like that one.
Ian looks scary and mean there. I just liked it because he's so serious and it shows a bunch of his, you know, like his work and stuff that inspires him behind him, which is, there's an entire meme thing on the internet called, you know, crazy walls, you know, scenes in movies where everyone has the stuff with stuff connected. Right. And Ian actually has these things. And it's like, I just imagine, Ian, that this is what it feels like inside of your brain. What it feels like inside your brain.
Worse. Yeah.
Well, let's make sure that everybody knows that Ian's handle on Instagram, folks in the UK and worldwide, of course, is Mr. Ian W. Check him out. His work is amazing. I love your work, Ian. I'm so happy to be connected with you. Edward says, Ian's portrait is wonderful. We can all see in him deep thought with curiosity and looking up. And this off center composition with the building and sky works beautifully. Exactly. See, that's what caught me about this is the way Bill used the angle of the roof of the Tate Modern, didn't go for the dead on shot, but the way the sky is cuts half the screen, half the picture off, and the other half is the Tate Modern, and then you looking up is the perfect picture.
Feels like a composite, that picture.
It does. And speaking of composite,
very playful as well, aren't you? You play with intent, though, and that's one thing. You never make it. I'm always aware of you being a photographer, but it's not kind of how I know you in a way.
I know you
as a mate who takes beautiful photographs and he's really accomplished, but I don't. It's with, and then we talk, we have stories, and you're really good at, you know, storytelling.
Yeah.
It's quite low key how you work it. You know, you're not a show off about it.
It's the thing about, I mean, you're my friend, so we're like that anyway, but even with regular people that I'm photographing, it's like, it's not about us taking the pictures. It's just us trying to get to know each other. You know, I mean, I think that's because everybody's a person, right? I mean, no matter who you meet, like I've shot literally thousands of people. And I think there have been two of them I didn't get along with really well. Right. You know what I mean? And it's probably had nothing to do with me. You know, they probably got a fight with their spouse or something.
It's all to do with you. But that's what's really interesting. It's how do you become really solid friends? And we're not really in touch with each other just through link, you know, just Instagram. Yeah. But we know that when you came to London, it was just like,
I see Ian, and when Ian comes here, he's here. It's I have a lot of people in the world who are like that. And it's kind of one of my, if I was going to die tomorrow, would be the thing I'm most proud of, is the fact that I feel like I have very close friends that I don't see that often.
That's why
you fall right back into it the minute you see each other.
That's why I wanted to bring Ian on today to surprise you and make you happy that
way. Thank you so much. That does make me happy.
You're welcome. Yeah. One thing I want to say, Ian said, and then we're going to have to move on here, is that Ian, you could stay on the screen right there, please.
You give more space to him.
Okay.
I'm here anyway.
But one of the things I want to say is that Ian said something very beautiful yesterday about you in our emails back and forth, and then I brought him on to tech test him to make sure all the connections were right, is that you're like a secret weapon because, you know, you're this humble photographer, but yet you photograph so many people around the world and things like that. But, you know, your skills are bar none awesome.
Oh, thank you. True.
So I'm going to move on a bit here with things, but everybody,
we'll see you soon.
Nice to see you.
Thank you so much. Love you, Ian.
Ian, thank you so much, man. What a great, great moment. Wonderful to have you on the Spin It Social Hour. And I'll stay in touch with you, okay?
Yeah, please do.
Okay, please check out his Instagram, everybody. Mr. Ian W. Bye-bye, Ian.
Monster. See ya.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Cheers.
Bye.
And best of luck to everybody in the UK. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay. So anyway,
thank you. That was lovely.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. It's my pleasure. It's one of my favorite things to do, is all that kind of communications and network stuff. So let's talk here quickly about some of the conceptual work that you do. But I want to switch modes for 1 second and quickly show something that I think everybody's going to get a kick out of, because I want everybody on LinkedIn and everywhere out there, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, who want to hire you, to know that you also do a lot of video work. And I wanted to show something real quick because I think this is absolutely magnificent. So I'm going to mute myself for a second.
All right. Gifford's the best.
The reason I'm going to unmute that, I didn't show the whole clip. First of all, it's a minute and a half, so we want to move on to your other work. But I wanted to give people a quick taste of your video work. That is so fun.
Thank you.
But also, you know, there's also always these small music things. Oh, I got it. This light is coming in here strong this morning. One of the things with Facebook and other things is you don't want to go too long on music, even though that's just generic.
I wrote it, so you can use it all you want.
Oh, yeah, but if they don't know that, and the algorithm doesn't know that. So, I don't want to play with them. So they're notorious for things, but I think they'll be good with it. You better be, Facebook. Don't mess with me, man.
I don't think it's ever been published anywhere else. So I think
don't mess with Bill's work.
Yeah, exactly.
But check out Bill's work on his website, which is coming up here once again at BillWadman.com, and check out his video work. Amazing stuff that he could do for corporations, for individuals, for any brand. Great, great storytelling by Bill. But let's bring up some of the work again. I have to go back here through my screen share. And let me go back to your slides. And here we go. So this, I feel, is everybody in life these days. Everybody's multitasking, and this is where it's at.
And especially Dan Gottesman, who this is the whose photo this is. Dan is one of my best friends, and has teched and assisted for me over the years. But himself is just incredible at everything. He was an Apple genius back in the early days of the Apple Store. He shoots. He's this crazy bike guy. He builds things. He podcasts. We had circuitous conversations with Bill and Dan for 100 and something episodes. And right. Dan did another Q&A show with me, Ask Bill and Dan. Dan's like the guy that I call when I have a technical question. Okay. And everyone calls me when they have technical questions. And when I have them, I call Dan.
That's a great portrait, and I love the conceptual work with it. It's just so, you know, it speaks about life these days. And he looks like a great guy. I can see why you would have so much fun with him doing this. But I want to also give a shout out to your wife.
Yes, that is my wife, Heather.
And I want to give a shout out to your dad's car.
Yeah, my father's old car. Yeah. Who, you know, my father passed away in 2005, and my mother was still living at the house. And so I, Heather and I were up there visiting. I said, you know, she was about to sell the car. I said, we got to do something in the car. I was like, do you bring anything with you? Do you have a dress from work or something? And she's like, yeah. And in fact, I shot this with a 28 millimeter lens on my old Canon.
Right.
And, you know, a strobe on either side of the car, as you can see, whatever it is, it makes it feel like, I don't know, she's at a drive-in or something. Right.
But it's gorgeous.
It was because of this picture that I did my entire Drabble series.
Oh yeah. Like, yeah.
This is sort of the proto Drabble, where I shot this and thought, right. Oh, I'd love to do a whole series of stuff that are these crazy stories that you don't even really know what's going on.
Well, that's, you know, I had so much fun going through your work. I mean, this is like just so cool. I mean, you think about life these days and it can be upside down, but it can also be sideways.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, this guy came and I was supposed to, take his picture, and I had all set up. I knew what I was going to do this crazy composite. And so I had lights set up to match the sun and, you know, put up a big octobox or whatever. And he walks in and he's 6'7".
Whoa.
And I was like,
really?
Yeah. I was like, whoa. I'm 6'1". There aren't that many people that I look up at. It's like this guy. And one time I shot Terry Waite, who was a hostage in Lebanon for years.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
And I photographed him once, and I shook his hand, and it was like a little kid shaking like an adult hand. I was like, you are a monstrous man. Like, how the heck did they keep you down? You know what I mean? Anyway, long story short, this guy walks in, and I had to push all of my lights up because the entire lighting setup had to move because he was just way bigger.
Well, I'm going to move through a few of these. Yeah,
there's a Drabble that's actually on the fire escape. I can look at that fire escape right now out that window.
Yeah, no, it's gorgeous.
Although, real quick thing interesting about this, the original shot was going to be me shooting from the window that you can see there on the right that the fire escape exit onto. Mm-hmm. And I shot and I thought, oh, I need to add a light behind her. So I went to go to this other window that can see out and add a light behind her. And the minute I put up the light, I go, no, this is completely wrong. I need to shoot from this angle. Right. This is what I need to do. Right. And so I shot through a window to get this shot.
Well, that's why, you know, whatever it takes, right, to get the money shot, you know. And that's another, you know, gorgeous shot there. I love all of this with the photographer, the dancers. I love your dancers' work. I absolutely – there are also a lot of the black and white and other work you've done on some nudes and the human body is just, you know, the human body is just such a beautiful thing. And she's obviously just, you know, so comfortable with you doing this portrait. It's just gorgeous.
Yeah. She's a personal trainer. So it helps.
She is definitely, you know, amazing.
That one, I mean, you look at it and you just look at her body and you think, God, it looks like one of those Michelangelo sketches.
It
you
know does. I mean? That's exactly what it reminded me of. Exactly. Yeah. So one of the things I want to do real quick is bring on my co-producer to acknowledge his great work behind the scenes. Jonathan Borstein, everybody. Jonathan, a bit about yourself.
I am a full-time flaneur, a sometime writer, and part-time tech.
Okay.
And I have a question for Bill.
There you go.
Which is, many of your photographs have a painterly quality. Mm-hmm. What painters have influenced your work?
You know, people always ask me that, and I have stock answers. It's Caravaggio and John Singer Sargent. In fact, I have a on my wall right here. I have one of my favorite John Singer Sargent paintings. I keep on my wall to remind me to do that. It's interesting though, because I mean, with paint, especially with somebody like Sargent, you can have the faces be very, very detailed, and then the clothes be very sketchy, you know what I mean, with the way he would do stuff with a knife. And a lot of times I really want to get that, and I can't in photography. And I've always tried, I mean, it's like sort of like this detail and not detail thing that I've always tried to pull out. But lighting-wise and that kind of stuff, yeah, I'd love to make things look like a painting. And usually it's Caravaggio and Sargent, just because they're the people that I travel around the world to see their work, you know?
Well, you certainly do that with the dancers' work, and yeah. You know, it's just gorgeous work.
That's the whole Taylor company right there.
Yeah, no, I'm going to leave Jonathan on here with us, because he's doing such a magnificent job of fielding all the comments, dealing with all the driving the car behind the scenes, as I call it. And I love his glasses, as always, so. And I love Jonathan.
You guys have his as well.
He is my amigo.
As far as driving the car goes, I'm trying to figure out where the ejector seat button is.
Ejected. The dancers' photos are just magnificent. Dancers are a joy to work with, because they're so well, you know, such trained professionals, and they know how to do things on mark, but they also know how to pose.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. A lot of times, though, with dancers, they know how to move, but they don't necessarily feel comfortable standing still, which is a really interesting thing with them. In fact, if do you have any of the motion pictures?
Oh,
by
absolutely.
Chance?
First a shout out to this dance troupe. I'll let you announce it.
Oh, that's the Paul Taylor Dance Company. Absolutely. I mean, that's, or most of them are. I mean, it's there's a few more of them that.
Well, shout out to the Paul Taylor Dance Company.
I mean, they're one of the biggest, best modern dance companies in the world. They're crazy. And I am lucky beyond stars to end up being friends with most of them now.
Absolutely.
So here's an example of a picture of Michael Chuznovec, and it's interesting because in these motion pictures that everyone always sees of mine that they like, the parts you see the dancer is when they're sitting still for a beat. You know, it's like a 3-4 second exposure. So it's when he's standing up there for half a second before he moves that he actually looks still, which is the inverse of what it normally is. Normally, the more they move, the more you notice them. Right. But the reality of it is backwards. Yeah.
I went digging for this one. I found this somewhere way back on your Instagram.
Yeah, I think it's Kelsey. Yeah.
I adore this one. This is what it's all about, with a really long exposure and using the body the way you did. This is on the money.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I mean, again, you get these dancers over and it's just fun.
Yeah.
It's like you can really play with them, because they're willing to do anything, and you try anything, and you just set up lights and almost everything looks good. It's like working with models, you know?
Yeah. Look at this. I mean, everybody check out Bill on his website, check out his motion section on dancers. This was featured in many, many places, including the Huffington Post, big spread once. But, you know, like I said, I love all of them. That would be my choice right there.
All right. But
you also use some of these brilliant work of yours. Somebody actually used it for an ad for Drink Up.
Well, actually, we shot those after the fact for them. We set up in a studio for, I think, two, three days to shoot a bunch of these. There was this one of the woman dancing. There's one of a woman on a treadmill. There's, you know, a guy playing soccer. They saw those motion images and wanted to hire us to basically do that.
You hear those key words, right? Everybody, hire us, hire Bill.
The really interesting thing about these is that we got hired, and then it's like, I had to recreate something I had done 11 years prior.
Right.
You know, to like a modern version of it. So I was like, oh, well, this is going to be interesting. But it worked out.
Portrait photography is an amazing thing. I don't know why. I just had a quick thought working with some people who have also mad Photoshop skills and everything else. But it's all of your skills combined that make you so special, you know?
Thank you.
So I want to move on here to a few other conceptual work, just to show quickly, because we have little time left. But this is some of the steps, let me show everybody, that went into something like this. So here they are, bill and subject, and then we'll go from this to a nice day in the park to a living room, a beautiful
with some dirt on his floor.
Yeah, oh, look at that, man. Oh, I wish I had a place like that, man.
Gorgeous. Yeah, it's a beautiful apartment.
And then only brownstones in Brooklyn and Harlem, I tell you, man. Unbelievable. Yeah. Gorgeous. And then there you go with the final product. Look at what Bill did here. We went from this to this to this to boom. Look at that. I mean, absolutely gorgeous.
The trick with this one is two things. One, you know, I had to put the dirt on the real floor because the hardest part is the transition, right? Getting from dirt to floor. Sure. Well, let's do that for real. And then the other thing is getting all the reflections and shadows. So like putting the shadow of him over on the wall on the left, getting the reflection in the wind on the picture on the right.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that it has this reality to it.
You know, that is the one thing that I missed in the whole photo, and I apologize for that. That is actually gorgeous that you were able to get the reflection of the tree placed perfectly in that picture frame.
Yeah, I mean it's those things, and the more you do composites like this, the more you sort of notice those things, or you look back and you go, "Oh shoot, I forgot there should be a shadow here." And it's a lot of times it's those little tiny things. Like if you hadn't done that in that window, in that picture frame on the glass,
right?
You would, something about it would feel like this looks fake, and of course it is fake, and you can know it's fake,
right?
But like, that's the kind of thing that adds reality to compositing.
Well, you know, that's one thing that, you know, I'll say quickly is that, you know, that's where being obsessive compulsive can be a good thing.
Yeah. But you always miss something and you go back and you go, you know, you want to go change something.
Well, let's show this series real quick here. The water tower.
My friend's parents had this water tower up on their roof, and we were going to just shoot on a roof. And then she showed me there were pictures of water towers. I was like, I want to use a water tower. Yeah. But wait, can you go back one quick thing?
Sure.
You can see that there's this lock. There's this box down at the bottom of the.
Yeah.
Right. So actually, if you go to the next one, it's there too. So that goes up 6 feet or whatever. So you can't climb the ladder. So we had to boost her up.
Oh, bye.
And she ended up cutting her leg. And in some of the pictures, you can see blood dripping down her leg.
Oh Lord.
In some of the originals. And then my friend Dan, who had, you know, that I showed with all the different arms, he's holding this strobe up, however, you know, 15 feet in the air. You can actually see his hand down there.
Oh yeah, that is
that way up top to match where the moon will be.
That is high up there. But what a, and then of course the cityscape.
Can I take it? Yeah, that's a cityscape for just from the roof that that's the scene.
And then drum roll please everybody. Boom.
Yeah, put it all together. Yeah.
Look at
the idea of the moon being close enough to touch. That was the whole idea.
You know what? That this belongs in a Disney still.
Yeah, I'll take that. I mean, that's I'd love to do that kind of work. And a lot of times it comes down to, I mean, not for nothing, but like time and budget and money, that like, that's what you need to do a lot of this stuff, you know? Right.
Well, I also want to encourage you to do more of your own personal work, Bill, because I found a couple of goodies here that I had to show that I want you to also keep doing your own personal passion.
You want me to shoot more on with my phone?
You know what? Whatever it takes. This is gorgeous, man.
Oh, thanks.
This is something I could look at for hours because
it's funny. I don't even remember taking that picture. That's my Instagram.
It's somewhere. I found it on your Instagram. I go digging, man.
Okay.
This is gorgeous because it really reminds me of a peaceful moment that I could stare at for hours. You know, I love snow and I love the mystique of it. It's magical, you know, being a New Yorker that I am and having grown up in New York in its heyday and everything else. And I love subway photos, man, this is like as noir as you get for the New York City subway.
Yeah, I mean, every once in a while I catch something, you know, you see something and you take out your phone or your camera and take a shot of it. In general, street photography doesn't, I don't know, it's like, it's a lot of waiting. You know what I mean? It's a lot of waiting and trying to see stuff. And I prefer to make decisions and control the thing that I'm trying to make as opposed to standing there waiting for it to happen. But yeah.
Well, you know what? I told you I was going to keep it tight for you because I know you have a hard stop at 10:59. It's 10:58. How did I do?
You did good. You have 59 seconds. Yeah,
I do. So with those 59 seconds, I want to say a big thank you for being here today with us.
You're very welcome.
I wanted to also make sure everybody checks you out at Bill Wadman on Instagram and Twitter and BillWadman.com. And also 365...
Oh, Wadman 365.
Wadman 365.
That series is done, but if you want to go look back on them, they're all there.
And, so hopefully you'll have a print sale for the holidays, folks. Let's get Bill some business here for his beautiful, magnificent work. Get to know him better, most of all, as a human being and as a great photographer. Tell people about him. Share this live stream so everybody knows more about Bill. And let's all give him a big pound it for being here and being on the screen with us. Normally, I do this off the screen, but you have to go and run. So we're going to do it right now. Let's hold on a second. Let me go back one shot. And then I know you got to run to something great like this. And let me do a quick screen grab, folks. This usually goes on behind the scenes, but we're going to do one more right here to get Bill. So I have this. All right, here we go. Bill, nice smile. All right. Hey, listen, thank you so much for being here.
No problem. Share thank you, Stephen.
Podcast and learn more about Bill.
Jonathan, thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you. We're going to go on to some post-promotion. Bill, you have a great weekend, okay?
All right. We'll see you guys soon.
All right. Take care now. All right. Bye-bye. Thanks. Bye-bye. All right, folks. So that was Bill Wadman. So I'm going to stop sharing the screen here. Jonathan, thank you. I'm going to be right back. So we're going to do some little promotion work here. Please stay with me for a couple of seconds, folks, because this is important stuff that I want to share with you. And hold on one second. And I'm going to say goodbye to Ian behind the scenes after two. I am going to go right here, and I am going to tell you about next week's show. By the way, before I do that, everybody needs to become a better photographer because I am wearing Mediascope's Be More-er, and this is Chitachi, Dr. Tachi from Mediascope. Check her out online at Mediascope. Be More-er right here. I love this shirt, Tachi. Thank you for the gift. And I am going to be more of a better live streamer because of you and this shirt. So anyway, but next week's show, folks, is the Spin It Social Hour on Saturday, November 7th with Marge Kleinman from Brooklyn, another Brooklynite, Brooklyn in the house. And Stoop Stories is in the house. She has been written up in the New York Times lately and many other things for her pandemic work on people sitting and telling their stories and many other things about their lives on Stoops in Brooklyn, New York. And a shout out to my friend Julia L. Weeks on Instagram. Check her out, an AP photo editor who put me in touch with Marge and had her on her show, Brooklyn Navy Yard Neighbor. Check them out. And thank you, Julia, for putting me in touch with Marge. It's going to be a fascinating show with Marge next week. Tune in on all platforms. And now it's streaming on LinkedIn. And then I'm going to tell you about my colleague and dear friend Sri Srinivasan, Sunday NYT read-along tomorrow, November 1st. Wow, November 1st. Oh, boy, Tuesday's the election. Hold on to your seats, folks, and vote. And by the way, it's Halloween, so I want to make sure. Let me take this off for a second. First three, I'm going to put that back. I want everybody to be wearing their masks on Halloween, and I mean this mask. Please, folks, mask up. This is my FIT mask where I teach. They sent this to me. Shout out to FIT, and thank you. But please, mask up. This is the mask that everybody should be concerned about on Halloween. Listen to the experts. Let's get through this pandemic together. Let's save lives. And let's be friends to each other that are helping the world at large. Stop listening to all this craziness out there and wear your masks. And yeah, I called people out on that one. All right. So tomorrow, Sri Sunday NYT read along with my ex-colleague and New York Times legend, Jim Roberts, publisher in chief now and strategy officer of the 74, former editor in chief of Cheddar and longtime editor, as I said, at the New York Times. With me there, Jim Roberts. Please tune in and become part of the NYT Read Along family, where every Sunday we all read the New York Times along with Sri and Neil Parekh, the executive producer, who's done an amazing job over 5 years bringing the read along to life for everybody. We read the New York Times like a bunch of crazy people every Sunday, and it's fascinating and fun. So tune in. And then finally, one last thing is She's On Call, the show to watch with two of my favorite doctors, Dr. Sujana and Dr. Marina. Love them both. And they both bring on great doctors every week and talk about life during the pandemic and many other health issues. A great medical show now online, produced by DigiMentors. And it is an honor always to work with DigiMentors and Sri Srinivasan and his group, as well as doing my own thing with Spin It Social. So please look to hire me as well for many, many things, social media related, live stream related. And I hope you've enjoyed another hour of the Spin It Social Hour. And learn about social media with Sri's Muckrack Academy, Fundamentals of Social Media. I had a great time producing this show with Sri and my colleague Linda Bernstein, also one of the big people that we have with us on DigiMentors. Muckrack's free course, free on-demand certification course. Print out your certificate, put it on your LinkedIn profile. This will make you stand out. The Fundamentals of Social Media. So folks, I'm going to say goodbye. I'm going to say thank you. I'm going to say be well. And remember, I don't care how much time I spend doing this, remember to mask up and wear your masks this Halloween and protect everybody out there. Tune in next week for the Spin It Social Hour with Marge Kleiman and Stoop Stories. Be well, everybody. Take care. Thank you very much.